Ever been perplexed about the plan that God has for you? Have you ever wondered what makes God's plans work? Brother Damon Eagleton reveals some key concepts in today's discussion titled, Placement plus Purpose plus Provision plus Prohibition plus Process equals the Perfected Plan.
Removing some and taking some stuff off and fixing it and prying it and pulling it. It's a process. It's not, and the problem with process is there's not just one phase of a process. But every phase in your process is just as important as any other phase. Let's see where I'm supposed to go. We're going to get there in a minute. If every phase wasn't important in your process, then it wouldn't be required. It wouldn't be a phase. Right? Each phase is designed to cut or shape or enhance or refine the raw materials in a way that the previous phase didn't. So I'm in this phase and something didn't cut off right or didn't fix right. Okay, how about we got this? The process is designed to mold and fashion the raw materials into something that we can use at the end of the process. So that at the end of the process, it's more than just raw materials, it's a product. A product has to, raw materials go through a process so that at the end they can become a product. Because the product needs to be used for a purpose. Okay? I want to knock a hole into the wall. I take raw materials wood. I take raw materials steel. I put both of them through phases of what seems to be completely different processes when actually they are the same process, just two different phases because it's two different raw materials. I take my wood. I cut it. I shape it. I do what I need to do. I take my steel. I melt it. I heat it. I cool it, I shape it, I do all of that stuff, I put them together, and then I do some bonding stuff so that I have a sledgehammer. Now I can fulfill the purpose with the sledgehammer and knock the hole out of the wall. So I took my raw materials, took them through a process so that I could get a product so I could fulfill the purpose. Don't leave me in your mind. Don't leave me in your mind. The process... He didn't tell me to say it like that. Your process, and I'm not talking about general. Your process is because of your purpose. Some of y'all are wondering, God, why in the world did you make me go through this stuff? And sometimes it's not just, God, why did you make me go through it? It's, I'm in it. What's going on? Can I just get some oxygen? I got all this junk going on in my life and I can't get a break. Why in the world? I'm going ahead of myself. But I do want to say this. Each phase of your process is just as important as every other phase, regardless of whether it's comfortable or regardless of whether it's uncomfortable. Regardless of how long the phase is or how short it is, each one is just as important as the other one. Now, go to Genesis chapter 1, go to verse 3. There are no arbitrary points in your life. There's nothing that just happens by chance. Kiana, nothing that has happened to you has just randomly happened. Anything that has happened in your life that has been beyond your control has been a part of God's plan. And if I say I'm his, all I can do is just go with the flow and trust that his plan is going to work out the way it's supposed to. Go to verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Look at that verse 5. And God called the light day, And the darkness he called night. And God called the light. And the darkness he called. And God called the light and the darkness he called. Doesn't matter what he called it. He called both of them. He didn't name them. He called them. He gave them a calling. God said, your light and your darkness in your life are just as important as each other. Because I have given both of them a specific purpose, and it ain't just them I'm talking to right now. So God, then why give something unimportant a calling? He didn't. Both of them are just as important. So when you're uncomfortable in the dark time in your life, and I know some of y'all right now is kind of uncomfortable. I don't know where I'm going to school. I know where I'm going to school, but that's not where I thought I was supposed to go, or I'm not sure what I'm supposed to major in, or I know where I'm going this year, but what happens next year? Where's my money coming from? See, God says that's a dark time. Now, I'll tell you, some of y'all have had a horrible relationship with your parents at some times. That was a dark time. Why in the world, God, would you allow my parents, one of them never for me to never really know and have a relationship with, and the other one at a young age was taken from me? How in the world do you get any kind of glory? What is that about? Do you not care that I have some kind of emotion and feeling that it's going to affect me some kind of way? He said to, and I'm talking about y'all's stories. This is not something general. I'm talking about y'all. How could you let me, God, get into something that binds me and holds me down and makes me doubt whether you have a purpose for my life? He said, I called your darkness just like I call your light. And your nighttime is just as important as your daytime. Let me tell you something that you might not understand. The nighttime has a job. That's why he called it. It has a purpose. It has been called by God as a phase in your life. But I'm going to give you some hope, because some of y'all are in darkness right now. Some of you are in your nighttime and you're kind of wondering what's going on and you can't quite hear his voice. And Devin, you got decisions about what's supposed to be going on and you're trying to figure out, God, what do I do? If we look. If we look at verse 16 in that first chapter, it says, and God made two great lights. The greater light for what purpose? To rule the day. And the lesser light for what purpose? To rule the night. I don't care how long your dark is. I don't care how dark your night is. It still has to follow the rule of light. Hey! And I don't care how long nighttime lasts. It can only be there until the schedule says it's time for the next daybreak to show up. So night has to stop. Now, in chapters 3, I mean, in chapter 1, verses 3, you don't have to go there. Don't go there. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the next verse says, and God divided the light from the dark. Okay, when I read that, I don't see that as God creating light and then he goes and divides them. You can't say two things at one time. So they had to come in some kind of order as he wrote them down. I believe that they happened at the same time. Because had God just said, let there be light, there would have been no more darkness. So I believe that as God spoke the light, it was already divided. Because he couldn't get rid of the darkness because he had a purpose for the darkness. Now, I mentioned that night. Sit down. I mentioned that night only lasts until the schedule says it's time for the next daybreak. Speaking of time, God does not exist in time. God is not, the song says, I am the Lord and I change not. Time changes. God does not change. Time moves. Time comes and goes. God does not come and go. He is always everywhere and everywhere. And so because he doesn't exist in time, he doesn't have to be subject to its laws and limits. Time is just another raw material for God to use in his project. Now, God does deal with location, as the pastor has so eloquently taught us these last 3 weeks. God deals with location. And time to God is almost like a location.
Time is. Now, Brother Damon, you speak a lot about the lesser light. Why do you believe God has darkness in the process if the plan is to perfect us?
When we're in dark places, we reach out for things we feel will make us safe. Things that will help us not to stumble. Things we know are still there because we remember them from when the lights were on. God allows darkness so that we can reach out for him and get close to him. He allows darkness in our lives because it pulls us to him. The hope is in the fact that darkness only lasts until the light shows up. We just have to trust God in his plan.
Well, you heard it from Brother Damon Eagleton. Let's continue the message, The Perfected Plan.
Relevant to God as it pertains to a specific event happening on his timeline. There are two kinds of time, Kiana. One has to do with what time it is, chronology. Do you remember the word for that? What is it? Chronos. Thank you very much. There is another type of time. Get it in your mind because I'm going to ask you in a minute. Before you existed in time, before you existed in time, God put events into eternity. And then he spoke you. God doesn't move and his plan doesn't move, but time does. So when moving time intersects with God's non-moving plan, it is called an appointment. Kiana, what do we call an appointed time? Kairos. Yes, ma'am. Now, I want to get this. I want to see it just like you gave it to me. With God, time is only important when it is involved with an appointment for a specific event to occur. Location is more important than time. I'll give you a little illustration. If I say to Mike, meet me tomorrow at 6:15. It is like the possibility of locations to meet is astronomical. If I say meet me at 6:15, you got the time, but where in the world? I might catch a rocket to Pluto and be there for 6:15, but if I didn't tell you where? Now, on the other hand, if I say meet me tomorrow, Mike, at my office, I didn't give you a time, but if you show up at 12 a.m. tomorrow, and you just wait there, I guarantee you at some point I'm going to get into my office. So there's an exponential greater possibility of us meeting if I'm at the right location as opposed to if I just say something about time. Follow me. Don't leave. Follow me. Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't leave. When time intersects with location, it is the appointment. The greatest possibility of Mike and I meeting is if I say, hey, Mike, meet me in my office at 6:15 tomorrow. Because now I have given you a location and it has joined with time. Now we will meet. Oh, this Corey said this other day. We were talking about real estate. He said, location, location, location. Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be, chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. We look at this as an existence and an appearance word, but we forget that there marks location. So God looks out at the darkness, and he says, this is darkness, let there be light. It's a spot. We always talk about, ooh, light shows up, but God says, let there be light. God has a purpose for everything, including light and dark, day and night. And this is what he did. He took your timeline and he saw that stuff was going to be crazy and dark. sometimes. He saw that there were going to be times when you couldn't find your way, you couldn't hear his answers, you couldn't hear his voice. We were trying to get something at church. We come to church trying to hear the wind and the storm. We try to hear all that stuff. And then we go home and pray, and we try to have private time. I know some of y'all have prayer lives. And we go to prayer, which is where we're supposed to be, but it's like, I can't hear you. I'm looking for the wind and the still small voice, and I don't hear either one. But there's a reason why he has you in dark places sometimes. He took the timeline of your life, because he is in eternity looking down at time. And he said, ooh, that's pretty dark for Taryn right there. Let there be light. And then he said, Keon, I'm about to get in your business. There's some stuff going on, but her life is about to start for real. And all of this has been dark. But what was last Sunday's date? May what? May 20th. God says, for Kiana, let there be light. A specific location that we call time. But that God just used it as another raw material to manipulate so his project and his plan can work out like it's supposed to. Don't fight the night. It is in your life for a reason. Adults, don't fight the light, the night. Don't fight the night. It is in your life for a specific reason. There is purpose in the dark times of your life. Now, I want to share something with you, because we ask sometimes, well, what is it, Damon? What's the purpose? Why would God allow this to happen to me? Why would God make me wonder what's supposed to go on in my life? Why is it that I'm in a place where it seems like everybody right now has an idea about what they're supposed to be doing? They know where they're going. They may be going to the school they want to go to. They may have the job they want. But I'm stuck right here trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. It's dark. Do you hear me, God? I'm dark. Why are you not showing up, God, who loves me? Can I give y'all a personal experience? I know some of y'all are dealing with. I remember feeling like a stupid fool. I told Sean this other night. I wanted to go to UT. I got the information for the school too late to apply. And so I applied at U of H. And I got accepted. I did very well in school, and I did very well on SAT and ACT, which was really more frustrating because, I had worked to get the grades that I had gotten, because when you plant a seed, you're supposed to see the fruit of it at some point. And so I figured if I go to school and I actually do something in my classes, when it's time for me to continue my education and go on to somewhere, things are supposed to just pan out. Things are supposed to pan out because I've been handling my business. Things are supposed to pan out because I've been doing things I think I'm supposed to be doing. Things are supposed to pan out. And I got a letter one day in the mail, and I read the letter, and it was a check for like $4,000. And I ran around the house screaming. I was like, oh God, I can go to school. I know how I'm getting there. And Dad, he don't get excited about stuff. He said, boy, what does that letter say? And I remember it plain as day, sitting on that pink couch, and I ran through the house, through the kitchen, ran back out, ran upstairs, came back down, and he was like, what, boy? And so I took the letter out. I said, I can go to school. I got money to go to school. He said, boy, you better read that letter. I read the letter, and I almost cried. It was a deceptive marketing tactic. Had nothing to do with school, and it was not a check. I was mad. I done all this stuff. And I can't go to school. What you told me that I'm supposed to be getting knowledge and all my getting understanding. Well, I'm trying to go to school so I can understand something. And I was mad. And the truth is, I wasn't so mad at God, but I felt stupid because I had done all that celebrating and there was nothing to celebrate. Yeah. I'm gonna finish that one because I was gonna wait too late, but I'm gonna finish it now. Cedric, came to me a couple of weeks later and said, I got this from school. He was at U of H then. I got this from school. Fill it out. I'm going to take it back. It was I can't remember the name of the American Minority Award or something like that, AMA or AWA or something like that. And it was a scholarship application. Well, I filled it out, gave it to him. A few weeks later, got a letter. This time, calmed down, read it, full ride to U of H. And it was about, and it wasn't over. It wasn't over. It wasn't over. Yes, Lord, I'll go on and tell it. It wasn't over. A few weeks later, I got another call, but I was still young in my mind. I still wasn't paying attention to the signs about stuff that was going on. And they called my house, and I answered the phone. They said, this is U of H. We're starting a new program called the Urban Experience Program. We want to know if you'd be interested in living on campus for your first 2 years of school. I said, no, thank you. I already have plans on where I'm going to be staying. I was supposed to be living with my grandparents in Houston, working at Northline Mall, and I was going to be catching the bus to U of H every day. But I had the plan worked out in my mind. And so I hung up the phone. God knew I was a fool, so he had him call back later, and my mama answered. Thank God.
If you have enjoyed what you've heard from Mount Rose Church of God in Christ, you can order this message via CD number 052712 or write in to Mount Rose at mountrosecogic.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to serving you again next week from the City of Refuge.